Happy Resurrection Day. To those of you wondering what I was talking about, don't need to know. It's just stuff. Today we're doing Death Destroyed. this is my new revelation. Okay, I didn't read this anywhere. I was reading it for the message this morning, and hopefully I'll remember to use it in the message, that when Jesus was crucified, he was laid in a borrowed tomb. Now, well, we said that, well, Jesus, you know, he knew that he would be rising from the dead in, you know, 3 days, so he didn't need his own tomb, he needed a borrowed tomb. Well, I was thinking about that, and guess what? Everyone who has died is living in a borrowed space. Because we don't own that place, God does, and We're going to be risen from the dead when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. So we're only using the space temporarily. So it's a borrowed tomb. So we all who have died are living in a borrowed tomb. Now, wasn't that a good thought?
Not yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not in it yet. I didn't say all of us are in a borrowed tomb. I said all of those who have died. You know, because I was about to say all of us, then I remembered we're not dead yet. So, but I did remember that. So, but anyhow, the idea is Easter. In the early church, we have to remember the early church, the only thing they preached, basically, was the resurrection of the dead. And that was upon that premise, the people were believers in Christ. And so the church began with that understanding that Christ is risen from the dead. And from that has developed all the things through, especially in the first century, in, you know, first 50 years or so, we have the letters that were written by Paul and Peter and James and those guys. And we have those letters trying to help people understand what it means to be in Christ and to believe in Christ. And the lesson today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's see if it'll come up today. Yes, the early church, well, one of the questions that they brought up was, Paul, we what about the people who have died? are they missing the return of Christ? And that's where Paul tells us about how that the dead in Christ shall rise first. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's where we have the understanding that people, you know, they felt that Jesus was coming back, you know, at the moment, and those who had died missed it. Well, we're still believing for the resurrection, but it just seems like a long time coming. You know, it's been 2,000 years, but we didn't realize that God had a plan, and that His plan was that none be lost. So it's important that we see what Christ has done for us, and whenever we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ in place and we have an understanding of what the resurrection means, well, then it has great implications. I was going to read or have the audio Bible do the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, but I can't get it to open. So all right, for centuries, the words of 1 Corinthians 15 have provided a great comfort and hope for Christians who have lost their loved ones. Now, I don't think of death as someone being lost. I didn't lose anything. I have a relationship that has been postponed until a later date. So I have, and when they're not lost, I know where they're at. You know, I know where they're at. They're at home in heaven. So no, the people that have died are not lost. They have died, and we are not with them, and they're not with us, but they're not lost. They're in heaven. So everything that is life in them has taken up residency in heaven with Christ. Now, what I was going to have read was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, where Paul gives the evidence of Christ's resurrection by eyewitnesses. Now, that's one of the things that we sometimes neglect or forget, that when Paul was witnessing and talking, there were hundreds of people, and there was one crowd of about 500 that saw Jesus alive. And there are times mentioned later on that there are a number of those who saw Jesus alive still with us. So there were eyewitness accounts of Jesus being alive and Jesus being there. And one of the things, whenever Jesus rose from the dead and he walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, is that they were trying to, Jesus is like asking them, well, what happened? And they're going through all this stuff about what happened to Christ, and he was the one that we thought was to be the Messiah, and all this, and they constrained him to come into the house, and they wanted him to spend the night with them, and he sat down to eat with them, and as they were talking together, and as they broke bread together, it became evident that this was Jesus. Now, there are a couple of things happened. The way that he prayed, the sound of his voice, but perhaps it was when he broke the bread, they saw the nail prints in his hand, and they put it all together. You know how you can be with people and not look at someone? You know, you can be with someone and you're saddened and all this stuff, and you're not really paying attention. And you're hearing them but not paying attention. You know, you got other things on your mind. Well, I think that's what was going on with these two on the road to Emmaus. They were listening but not really listening. They were not paying attention but paying attention. And then when they sat down, when they began to focus on what was going on, Jesus broke bread. And when he broke the bread, when he prayed, their eyes were open. And I think of that the scripture is a lot like that for us, that whenever we allow the word of God to be applied to our situation, to our life, it's in those moments that we become more focused and we become aware that Jesus is here. He's with us. And we hear the words and we can, seemingly think we understand that God is here, but in reality we know that God is with us and that his word that he gives to us, that he is risen from the dead, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we are always safe in his hands and nothing that can ever separate us from him. It's those the understanding of his word becomes a revelation, revealed to our hearts, and it's like, oh, that's what it means. And so that's what we hold on to no matter how we feel. See, feelings come in and say, I felt that and I believed that, but I don't feel that way now. Well, that's feelings have nothing to do with it. The word of God is true. Whether you like it or not, the sun is coming up. Whether you like it or not, the sun is going to go down. Whether you like it or not, the stars are going to shine. Whether you like it or not, it's going to rain, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be hot, it's going to be cold, whether you like it or not. Well, the same thing is with the Word of God. Whether we understand it or not, it is still true. Nothing, and the truth of that Word is there, whether we don't like it's too hot. Well, it's still too hot, but I know that evening is coming. I have an air conditioning car or place to go. We know that these things are going to change, but the reality is we can live through these things. So Paul says, and when he talks about the witnesses, there was over 500 that saw Jesus alive at one time, and Jesus had numerous appearances to the other disciples and at different times before he ascended into heaven. But Paul says, And last of all, he was seen of me also. So Paul is telling, I was the last one to see him. I didn't believe in him. I was going to kill the people who did believe in him, but Jesus came to me and just totally rearranged my life and totally, you know, changed my opinion about who he is and his followers. And he says that he used the same argument to convince the Romans. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. So we find that in his persecution of the church, he thought that he was doing the right thing according to the old way, the Old Testament beliefs that it was a sacrificial system and Jesus was just messing up the whole thing. So, and then he used for the Romans, he wrote to the Romans, he said, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So when the Spirit of Christ abides within us, the Holy Spirit quickens, makes alive. It's like, oh, aha moment, you know. I am alive in Christ. Nothing shall separate me from God. So the same Spirit that raised Christ from dead, the Holy Spirit, is the same Spirit that lives within us. And whenever we die, well, we don't really, our body stops functioning, but everything that is life in us goes to heaven. That's the and then later on, trump of God shall sound, the resurrection of the body takes place. But life is eternal, and the Holy Spirit makes real to us that life that we have in Christ. So Christ is alive in me. Well, does that change all the circumstances? No, it changes how we see those things. Some of the circumstances will never change, but how I deal with them is different because Christ is in me. He helps me to see things differently. You don't understand what it's like to be blind. I'm not blind, but it's hard for me to see. But when I put these on, I can see more clearly. And whenever we have an understanding of the scriptures, it's like putting on glasses or something that helps us to see more clearly. And that's the Holy Spirit does that in our life. Well, some people in the church at Corinth they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they did not believe in the resurrection of believers. Okay? So that was an error. Error? Anybody know what an error is in baseball? What's an error? The ball's hit to you, and you should have it, and you miss it. That's an error. Well, the understanding that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead is correct, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what's a Sadducee? The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So their philosophy had affected the church, and Paul was writing to the church at Corinth to help them understand that they were in error. They should have understood Jesus is risen from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, you too will rise. Well, there were those in that early church in Corinth who were affected by the error of the Sadducees, and they believed in the resurrection of Jesus, but they didn't believe in the resurrection of people, of followers of Christ. And there was groups that there was the Stoics and some other, they're just another group at that time period. They believed that whenever a person died, the personality went into Christ or went back into God, and just disappeared. So the person was gone forever. The Hindus? The people who believe in reincarnation, they believe that you are going to be reincarnated and you're going to keep going up the ladder until you reach the point in which you become nothing. I mean, you're going to become more, you just keep going up the ladder of animals and stuff and people and stuff and getting out of, and finally reach the point of perfection, and then you become a drop of water in the ocean, which means you become nothing into the universe. That's not what the Bible teaches. Paul declares, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So everything we believe, everything that we understand of God, everything that we understand of Christ is based on the resurrection. Because if Christ is not risen, then all of his teachings are just nice words. And if all of the sufferings that the disciples and all of them were going through, if he is not risen from the dead, this means nothing. And one of the first evidence, I mean not one of the first, but one evidence of Christ being alive is when Stephen, whenever he's the first martyr, when he's being stoned, he looks up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And so he sees God, and then he dies. And he tells everybody, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And Paul's standing there holding the coats of the people who are stoning Stephen to death. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus before God, before he met Christ, you know, he didn't believe that Stephen could see Christ. Well, after Paul, Saul of Tarsus, met Christ on the road to Damascus, his whole life changed, and he saw Jesus, the same Jesus that Stephen saw. So, Paul, in verse 20, to the Corinthians, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, I have another translation here I want to read out of it. It says, but Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised, first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Unlike others who have been raised to mortal life, Christ was the first to be raised to everlasting life. So there were people, as Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was raised to mortal life, but Jesus was raised to eternal life. Because Lazarus died later on, but he was risen from the dead just to prove, it was a way of Christ proving his authority over life and death. Now, the one thing I always question is that we never use the word, when person dies, we never use the word sleep. Because what happens is we're afraid to go to sleep at night because what if I don't wake up? Well, the sleep that it uses here is not sleep like going to sleep at night or in the middle of the day, wherever you may sleep. anybody take a nap? Whatever. But anyhow, it's not that type of sleep. What it means, though, is just as you wake up from falling asleep at night, death is that which you will awaken from when the trump of God sounds when we go to heaven. So we may, our eyes may stop, become closed, and our hearts stop working, but we don't die. We go on to heaven. And death has come because of what one man did. But the rising from death also comes because of one man. So the death that comes to us through Adam in the garden, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Remember, it was not the fruit on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. Wasn't that funny? Did you like that? Yeah. Thank you. The pear meaning Adam and Eve, not the fruit, the pear, you know. Gotcha, thank you. Just thought I'd explain that to people who thought I was nuts. So anyhow, first fruits was part of the ancient law in the Old Testament. See, whenever we look and we understand the Old Testament principles and we understand what happens in the Old Testament, there is some of the language that is used that is, when Christ came, he came to fulfill the Old Testament. Okay? Whenever they had a harvest, you go out and you start to harvest your wheat. Well, you would take the first of the harvest and you would call that your first fruits of the harvest. And you would take that and take it to the temple and offer it to God as thanksgiving for the entire harvest. So God didn't say, go harvest the whole field and bring it in and give it to me. God in the scripture is saying, if you want to honor me, then take the first of what you harvest, bring it into the temple, and give it to, as it were, a sacrifice and offer it unto God for all that you're going to receive. So whenever we give money, tithes, offerings, we are taking our offering, and God doesn't say, give everything to the church. He says, bring your tithe. Bring the first fruits of what you have, bring it in, and give it to God, saying, thank you for everything else that will come. So Jesus, he is the first fruit of them that had died. So Jesus dies, and he rises from the dead. He becomes the first fruit, and is like all who will live and believe in Christ, they're going to live forever because of what Christ did. All right. So since by man came death, meaning Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, meaning through Christ. For as in Adam all die, physical, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, spiritual. Verse 22, shall all be made alive. Let me read what it says here. Refers to more than the resurrection. It includes the thought of abundant life that Christ brings to all who are in him. So whenever we are alive in Christ, there is an abundance that is attached to the spiritual part of who we are. So I am alive in Christ. The spiritual man in I and you is now a recipient of the abundance of what God has to offer. So we are, he says, we die by means of Adam because we are all in Adam, as in such he's our first parent. And we live by means of Christ because we are in Christ. So as in Adam, everyone dies, physical body stops, whereas in Christ, risen from the dead, all shall be alive. That's how the two come together. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. So Christ is the first one to rise from the dead. So because he lives, we shall live also. Paul says that. Afterward, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. So there is a future time in which Christ will return to the earth. We're not there yet. So when that happens, that's out there a ways. That's a whole different story. Whole different part of the scriptures. But it's made reference here. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So when the resurrection of all people takes place, it is the last enemy to be conquered, which is all shall be made alive, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he, the trump of God shall sound, all those who are in Christ will be risen from the dead. See, in sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, it's all part of our nature, we all do things wrong. Well, in Christ, we find forgiveness. And also, in forgiveness, we find eternal life. We find resurrected life. Because all of the powers of the enemy of this world have nothing over the power that is in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because Christ is in us, he's already defeated all of this. I just need to learn how to deal with these things. I need to learn how to have the right thoughts about the things out there. And that's why God has given us his word. The scripture comes to help us understand what's alive, who's alive in our heart, and what that means. So first fruits, were comprised of the first sheaf of the harvest. We said that. We'll go on. There's a lot to this, but we'll go on. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 38. So, but some man will say, how are the dead raised? Okay, all right. So Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he's already hearing what the critics will say. The critics are saying, okay, you're telling us about a resurrection. And Paul says, he's just imagining their questions. Okay, how are the dead raised? Well, and with what body are they going to come back? And Paul says, you fool. The one other translation says, foolish person. That which thou sowest, I'll read it in another version. When you sow a seed, it must die in the ground before it can live and grow, come to life. So if you plant a kernel of corn in the ground, as it has to die in order to sprout its roots and grow into a stalk of corn. Same way with beans and strawberries. What's the unique thing about strawberries? Huh? Seeds are on the outside. Didn't think I knew that, did you? The other ones, the seeds are on the inside. Strawberries, seeds are on the outside. All right. So, foolish person. You know, just as it is with seeds that grow in the ground and die, so it is. And when you sow it, it does not have the same body it will have later. So when you put a seed, a kernel of corn in the ground, when it grows up, it doesn't look like a kernel of corn. It looks like a stalk and has bunches of leaves on, and then starts this ear that comes on the stalk. So it doesn't look like the kernel of corn that grew, that died in the ground. So whenever we are resurrected from the dead, you just don't look the same, David. You know, hi, Mom. You get to heaven and say, hi, Mom. And, you know, Mom, you never look so good. Of course not. She's in heaven. She's glad to be there. So instead of her calling me and saying, can I talk to Rhonda? Because she wants to know what's going on. She can take care of it all at once just by seeing what's going on now. Just thought I'd throw that in. So how are the dead raised? Oh, you fool, you foolish person. And when you sow it, does it have the same body it will have later? On the contrary, what you sow is only a bare seed, maybe wheat or something else, but God gives it a body that he has planned. And God gives each kind of seed its own body. So, meaning that animals have their body, they have their type of body. We have a body that's different than animals. With animals, God spoke them into existence. He created the elephant, he created, you know, the zebra, he created, you know, the whales and the fishes. He created it all, spoke them into existence. But with man, he formed us out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into us. We became a living soul. The breath of God means we live forever, because what God breathes into cannot die. Our physical body may die, but we are alive forever, and we cannot die. Why? Because the breath of God is in us. Now, if that breath of God is that powerful that we can never die, then Christ, who is alive in us, is greater than anything that surrounds us in this world. So we have then confidence confidence, assurance, God will never leave me nor forsake me, and anything that comes into my life, he can help me handle. Amen. Thank you. Just thought I'd say that. And so also, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. So our body is mortal, we shall be raised immortal, never to die. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So realizing that we have weaknesses in us and who we are, that's not a bad thing. But what we have to realize and what we have to recognize is that we are raised in power. That which is alive in us is powerful. It is so powerful, death can't conquer it, evil can't stop it, and if you want to write the devil a message, where do you put it? On the bottom of your shoe. Because the Bible says he's under our feet. Thank you very much. All right. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So whenever our body dies, it is put into the ground a natural body. But when Jesus raises the body from the dead, it is raised a supernatural body, a spiritual body that will live forever. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So this is letting us know what Paul has to say here about what goes on in the resurrection. Now, verse 45. This is where we see the difference between a physical body and a spiritual body. You ready? So this is the resurrection of the dead. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Okay? That means the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. I want to read this in this version. 45, yes. It is written in the scriptures, the first man, Adam, became a living person, a living soul, all right, living person. The last Adam, Christ, became a spirit that gives life. So the first Adam, we are a living person. The second Adam, we are a living soul. Two of them are together in us, all right? The spiritual did not come first, but the physical, the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man came from the dust of the earth. The second man came from heaven. See, when we celebrate Christ and the birth of Christ at Christmas, what do we have? We celebrate the virgin birth. We celebrate God becoming man. When we see Jesus dying on the cross, we see God in man dying for Christ, God died for the sins of the world. So he came from heaven to become like us so that we who are from earth, made from the dust of the earth, could become like him and live forever. That's why we have, goes on here. So the first man came from the dust of the earth. The second man came from heaven. People who belong to the earth are like the first man of the earth, the dust. That's us, the physical part of us. But those people who belong to heaven are like the man of heaven, the living soul. We are like Christ. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he quickens us, he makes us alive. We are alive forevermore. Just as we were made like the man of earth, so we will also be made like the man of heaven. So think of this. As we bear the image of Adam, we also bear in us the image of Christ. Amen? We got people chomping at the bit to get in church. So, Sunday schools. But we see how the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that Paul talks about it here to quiet the fears of the people in Corinth. So too in our life, we have the Adam, we have the physical man, but in Christ, we have the spiritual man. We are alive forevermore. We are like Adam, we're physical, but we are like Christ, there's a soul, there's a spirit, and that where Christ is, there is eternal life. Father, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for how that your word becomes a light to our path, that we do not walk in darkness. God, we walk in light and hope and knowledge that you love us, you forgive us, and you have a place prepared for us in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and giving us your word. Amen. Amen.